What do you want to confess that no one else in your real life knows? Story 1. I'm unhappy in my marriage, but I still love my wife. I think if we met today, we wouldn't even date, much less be married. But the thought of leaving her for my own happiness makes me sick to my stomach. She constantly says how happy I make her, how much she loves me, that she couldn't live without me. And I love her back. We are just so different. We got married young because God was guiding us to do so. Our responsible adult figures told us it was smarter to wait, but we and our pastor knew better. We did a bunch of premarital counseling, so we actually have a very solid base for our marriage. We have just changed in political views, personal views, leisure activities, movie interests, religious beliefs, unbeknownst to her on that one, and just about everything else. There's very little common ground anymore. I can say we both enjoy watching anime together and listening to audiobooks of her choosing as we fall asleep. I've tried to recommend some and a few podcasts, but they didn't work for her. We haven't been intimate in months, and she recently discovered she's aromantic and is fine with basically never being intimate. I'm not like that at all. She doesn't work at the moment, and we are under financial stress because of it, but I still want her to be able to spend money on herself because it helps with her depression. Legitimately helps. She's spending money on hobby supplies, which give her a sense of accomplishment. Despite me working 50-plus hour weeks, I still do a majority of the cooking and cleaning due to her mental health. But I still love her dearly. I'm just unhappy. I care for her. I want to be with her. I'm just not happy. I feel like I put in more effort than she does, but she is so appreciative. And I know it isn't malicious on her part. I just enable the behavior. She's seeing a therapist recently because of finances, but I don't think I can afford one for myself or for couples therapy. Story 2. I'm generally a good guy. My wife ensures we have balanced nutrition in our house, but every once in a while I get this incredible, irresistible urge for foods on the dark side of the nutrition scale. The burgers, the fried chicken, the chips, and the Doritos. So when this urge reaches a breaking point, I make an excuse about going shopping and head out into the evening alone. I'll wander around those shopping areas in my part of town that have all the fast food joints, the KFCs, the McDonald's, the BKs, until I find one that suits my craving of the moment. Once I get my food, I find a dark corner of the parking lot and back the car into an obscure spot. Over the course of about 20 minutes, I indulge. It's both a satisfying and slightly ridiculous ritual. I feel more alive than ever. My mouth feels like a victorious, emotion-filled opera scene. My brain and body are in some kind of pure, euphoric state. The food gives up its salty, cheesy goodness to me. And then, oh, the glory, drinking in the sharp, carbonated, sweet sips of ice-cold frosty soda, hitting my throat and filling me with fantastic pleasure. And then slowly, eventually, the last bite is gone, the last sip is finished, and it's all over. It's just simply over. After a 10-minute food coma, I slowly pull the car out of its lonely spot in the parking lot and go home. I've been doing this for years. My wife or family don't suspect a thing. It's like that old quote, pleasure followed by emptiness. Story 3. I have a condition I was born with called Klinefelter's syndrome, and I remember wondering as a kid why my body seemed different. Turns out this condition basically gives me an extra X chromosome. When I was growing up, I had to take testosterone injections because my body doesn't produce much, if any at all. I didn't hit puberty until I was in the 10th grade. I had a huge growth spurt. I'm currently 25 and I'm 6 feet 5 inches, with wider hips than most men. Still haven't grown much facial hair. I get like 5 or 6 hairs on my chin, and that's about it. It used to bother me a lot because I used to think, who could love me with such a flaw? But I overcame my shame and learned to love myself as I am, with all my differences. No one is perfect, and everyone has something about themselves they hide from the world. I'm no longer ashamed of something I never should have been ashamed of. I'm just glad I could share my perspective on a personal truth no one really knows. Story 4. My headaches are actually tooth pain. Massive tooth pain. But after childhood trauma with a dentist, I haven't been able to work up the nerve to call one. I've also been dealing with long-term depression, and I just stopped brushing my teeth. They're in bad shape, but I'm so scared to even look at a dentist's office when I drive by, let alone try to talk to one and hear the whole, "Why didn't you just take care of them?" Speech again. I honestly didn't expect anyone to see this, but the fact that so many people have and commented that I can't keep up, I'm editing this. I'm working on getting on Medicaid. Someone told me they offer actual dental insurance. I've also been told that some dentists don't judge people who haven't been in a long time. So, I'm trying. I just have no job, no money, and I live in the U.S., so you probably know how that goes. For those concerned about my health, it's a broken tooth. No infection, just chipped while eating. It hurts. My whole head hurts. But I have one of those oral pain relief products from the pharmacy that's helping until I can get coverage or find a dentist willing to help me before then. Thank you, truly. I'm still scared. Really scared. Like hyperventilating and crying while writing this scared. But you're all right. I need to see someone if I want to see my child grow up. I don't want anything worse to happen. So thank you. Story 5. My brother was killed in July of 2020, and I've been hiding the fact that I've become a functioning alcoholic because of it. I lie to my parents, my wife, my friends, and my coworkers. I justify how much I drink in front of them by saying, I only have 3 drinks on Saturdays since it's my only day off. But they don't know about the 3 drinks I had before I went out with them. They don't know about the shots I take before I clock in for work. They don't know about the cocktail I make at home in the morning to have with lunch. I work night shifts, so my wife doesn't see me come home and crash for hours before I get up and try to sober up before she gets back. I always enjoyed drinking before he passed, but now I'm afraid to go without it. Drinking keeps my mind foggy and helps me stay just happy enough to get through work and maintain the relationships I almost gave up when he died. I know it's not healthy, but I'm the oldest of my parents' kids, and I always encourage my younger brothers to take risks and live their lives, but also to call me if they ever got into trouble. The day he was killed, I was asleep when he called. I haven't been able to sleep without drinking since. It keeps the nightmares away. I never told anyone he called, and I don't plan to, not in real life. Story 6. I was friends with someone who later turned out to be involved in something very dangerous when I was around 14 or 15. I was introduced to her by a friend who was deeply into the darker side of the true crime community. Her name was Elizabeth, and although we didn't speak much directly, I knew her through a true crime Discord server that I was awkwardly added to, a space filled with people glorifying violence. Elizabeth was the owner. She once mentioned receiving exciting letters from someone and was thrilled to get started on a big project. It turned out those letters were from a notorious individual, and they included instructions on how to make harmful homemade devices. She had plans to target the bar she worked at, claiming they were polluting a nearby river. Everyone who knew her was shocked. I was too. She seemed like a typical online user who cared about nature. To find out she was in contact with someone dangerous and taking action based on that was beyond what I could imagine. I've talked about this story with online friends, but if I ever said it in real life, I might be questioned by authorities. No matter how close you feel with online friends, you truly don't know who someone is until you meet them. Please be cautious about who you talk to and associate with, online or offline. It could lead to serious consequences or even danger. Story 7. I quit my job last week and haven't left my house since. There's trash in my home that I haven't bothered to take out. I haven't showered. I'm not exactly sad, but I am depressed. I feel angry and full of resentment toward friends, family, and even strangers. I dislike people because I've been hurt so many times in the past. I've tried to move forward. I still smile at strangers, even though 99% of them don't smile back. That part really hurts. I'm afraid I'll never meet new friends or a partner. I don't want to die, but I don't feel like I want to live either. I think people are incredibly self-centered. I've been in a very dark place before, and don't even have the motivation to try again. I feel completely lost, like a failure. My mom has been my biggest emotional support, but she's sick and nearly 80 now, so I've stopped telling her how I really feel, so she won't worry. I used to be so driven in both my personal life and my career. I was smart, determined, confident, funny, fun to be around, a good friend, and a loving partner. I don't feel like any of those things anymore. Story 8. This has been the hardest time of my life so far. My grandfather was being evicted, my uncle lived with him, and they had to move across the country. My grandfather is a hoarder, so helping him let go of his belongings
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Especially those from my late grandmother, was already stressful. Every weekend, we drove 5 hours to help clean out the house. Since there was so much to move, my uncle had to make about 10 trips to the landfill, each time taking someone from the family with him. He talked with each of us about life, growing up, our family, and more. With me, he talked about girls, life, and memories. Then he started giving me sentimental items like a pocket knife, a university jacket, and a nice watch. I thought it was a bit odd. After most of the packing was done, we had to return home. It was the last weekend my brother and I could help since school was starting. I said goodbye to my uncle, and he gave me a half-hearted bye. I also said goodbye to my grandfather, which might have been the last time I'll ever see him. He's very old. The next weekend, my parents drove back to finish the move and help with the U-Haul. On the way there, they got a call. My uncle had passed away. They rushed to the house and had to face the shock and sorrow. It was especially hard on my grandfather, who was still grieving my grandmother. And for my dad, it was heartbreaking. He had just lost his brother. Despite everything, they still had to finish packing the house and move out within 2 days. As if that wasn't enough, my aunt, who hadn't spoken to anyone in 15 years, suddenly showed up to help. While she was helpful, it added to the emotional weight of everything. Eventually, my dad had to go on the 4-day drive with my grandfather to the new place and stayed for a month to help him settle in. Only my mom came back after what was supposed to be a short weekend trip. I asked where Dad was, and she explained that my uncle had passed from a heart attack, and Dad had to stay longer. When my dad finally returned after a month, I asked him in the car for more details. He started crying and told me the truth. My uncle had taken his own life. He had gone into the front yard and ended his life. My grandfather had heard the sound, went outside, and found him there. I can't imagine how heartbreaking that must have been, to find your own son like that. By the end of the story, my dad was sobbing, and I didn't know what to say. Life has been overwhelming. I'm drowning in school, my grades are dropping, and I have practice every day until 9 p.m. I wake up at 6 a.m., get to school by 7, and stay until evening. Then I still have homework to do. It's been exhausting. I just want some peace. Even a simple hug would help. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. Story 9. My boyfriend went on a business trip out of state over Valentine's Day, and I flew out 2 days later to meet him so we could be together. Since his company was covering the hotel, we figured we might as well take advantage of it. He had some meetings and went out to dinner with coworkers in the days before I arrived. The day I flew out and got to the hotel, I immediately felt an unsettling vibe as soon as I walked into the room. Like something bad had happened. He told me he'd been feeling sick the whole time, so at first I assumed it was just a cold or fever and tried to take care of him. But I couldn't shake the gut feeling that something was off. One night I tried to comfort him physically, but he brushed me off and said he wasn't in the mood. I didn't think much of it because, again, he was sick. Months later, we were at home, and he had gone out to the gym, leaving his computer on with his email open. I know this breaks a lot of privacy boundaries, but I started snooping. That's when I came across a draft email dated from the time we were in that hotel over Valentine's Day. It read like a personal journal entry. In it, he described how one night, before I had arrived, he went out drinking with coworkers, including an older man who took him to a few different bars. They drank heavily, and by the end of the night, when they returned to the hotel, that older man followed him to his room and violated his boundaries in a deeply traumatic way. He went into great detail, which made me feel physically sick. I won't write it all here, but I knew something had happened. I could sense it back then, and I know he would never tell me directly. It's wild that I happened to stumble across that draft. I don't think I'll ever bring it up. Sometimes it still keeps me up at night. What gives me a small amount of peace is knowing that this all happened before COVID, and now he works remotely and never has to see that person again. Story 10. Even though she loves and adores me, the truth is that I really don't feel anything toward my mother. I don't care for her the way most people might expect. She had me when she was 16. I was an unplanned pregnancy. And my father, who honestly fits every bad description you can think of, abandoned her the night I was born. She went from family member asking for help, and finally ended up with my father's parents. They agreed to adopt me on the condition that she'd finish school, clean up her life, and grow enough to be able to raise me properly. About 10 years ago, during summer break in high school, was the last time I visited her willingly. She had improved her life in some ways, but she still moves constantly and has a very unpleasant attitude when she feels comfortable around people. She's very affectionate, though. Every few months, she messages me on Facebook asking how I'm doing, if I think about her, and when I plan to visit. Right now, she lives about 4 hours away. I play along. I tell her I miss her and things like that. But the truth is, I only do it so she doesn't feel alone. She raised me for just my first year of life. After that, my grandparents raised me. My father caused a split in the family about a decade ago, and I don't know where he is now. As much as I wish I could feel something for her, I just don't. That's what makes it so uncomfortable when she tries to act close and affectionate with me. In a few years, I plan to move to Japan and start a new life. I love the country, but honestly, part of the reason I'm leaving is that there are too many dangerous and unpredictable people where I live. I want to leave the parts of my past that I don't need behind. I wish I could tell her all this and just let things go. But with both sides of my family having a history of mental illness and emotional struggles, I can't risk saying something that might hurt her even more. Story 11. People know a little bit, but not the full story. I'm a short girl, 4 feet 10 inches, and it has taken a huge toll on my self-esteem and confidence. I always felt like I would never be loved, that I was strange, unattractive, and abnormal. I've been trying to overcome those feelings for years and have made some progress. But whenever a guy is only interested in me for superficial reasons, it still breaks my heart. It makes me feel like I'm not enough, and my confidence takes a hit all over again. I often find myself craving male attention, but what I really want is an emotional connection. Sometimes I rush into things too fast just to feel that fleeting sense of being wanted. Most of the time, I end up with someone who doesn't really care. I'm a giver, and that makes it harder. I try my best to be understanding, to accommodate others, but I usually end up hurt. Lately, I've started setting boundaries and trying to work on my personality and fitness so that I can finally feel like I'm enough without needing someone else to validate me. But it's a long road, and interacting with people every day only reminds me of the insecurities I carry. It's hard to stay focused on self-improvement when my struggles are always so visible. I know this may sound trivial compared to what others go through, but I honestly don't know when I'll stop feeling like I'm not good enough. Story 12. I hate my ex-girlfriend. She was the first girl I ever dated and the first person I ever loved. We broke up, got back together, broke up again. The cycle kept repeating. I became her safe person, her emotional outlet. She came from a difficult home life with an abusive mother. She had also gone through traumatic experiences, and I was always there to comfort her when she was reminded of those things. When I went through something traumatic myself and confided in her, she got upset with me for talking about other girls who liked me. Meanwhile, she constantly talked about boys she had dated or had crushes on. After she was kicked out of her house, I took her in. She later moved in with her dad, but I still spent time with her, listened to her vent, helped her through problems, and even brought her on vacation with my family. This past summer, I stopped talking to her because she started dating someone else. Yet she still insisted on coming on vacation with my family, even after I told her she wasn't welcome. My mom still thinks we'll get back together. And honestly, I do miss her sometimes, but I never want to see her face or hear her voice again. She took advantage of me, and I don't know if I'll ever feel comfortable letting someone in romantically again. Story 13. I've been struggling with addiction for most of my life, and as I approach 30, I've finally decided to change and better myself. My addiction affected my relationships, especially when it led to issues that made intimacy difficult and caused a lot of embarrassment and shame. There was a time when I spent hours every day stuck in a cycle, watching content, engaging in online behaviors, constantly seeking novelty. I even began separating my sense of identity, what I liked online versus what I liked in real life, just to keep the addiction going. It led me down paths I wouldn't have chosen for myself otherwise. None of this was ever shared with friends, family, or partners. It became a huge secret. Today, I'm 24 days clean, and I'm proud of that. The urges still come, but I've been strong. I'm improving my relationships, doing better in university, and I'm starting to feel happiness again. I just wish I could share this progress with people close to me, but for now, I'm holding on to this small victory and pushing forward. Story 14. I'm generally a very open person with others, and I'm in a committed relationship with someone I love deeply, but I've always felt guilt over the romantic or flirtatious thoughts I've had about other people. It's never been physical, and I've never cheated. But I do enjoy flirty attention sometimes, and I respond to it. It's strange because no one knows me like my partner does. No one could ever replace what we have right now. But still, I carry this guilt. I always draw a clear boundary and let people know I'm in a relationship. The thoughts I have are never explicit, just small moments of flirtation that never cross the line. My partner is very firm in his beliefs. He sees infidelity as absolutely wrong, and he has ended friendships over it. We joke around sometimes about past relationships, but he's 100% committed to me, and I panic that maybe I'm not as mentally focused as he is. This pattern has followed me in past relationships too. I've never told anyone about it. I feel like it's wrong to commit to someone and still entertain thoughts about others, even if they're fleeting. I don't know if I'm being too hard on myself, but the guilt is something I haven't been able to shake. I'm not really looking for advice. I just needed to say this out loud in some way. Story 15. I didn't study at all last academic year, and I'm terrified that this year will end up the same way. Ever since the lockdown started, it feels like my brain just shut down. I don't even feel like doing basic tasks like eating or drinking water. Sometimes I'll miss breakfast and not even notice until my mom points it out. I don't do it on purpose. It's like I just don't feel hunger anymore. I tried setting alarms to remind myself to eat or drink, but they only help when I remember to set them. I've lost a lot of weight. When people compliment me on it, I feel awful because it wasn't intentional or healthy. I've just been sitting, doing nothing. Even starting a TV show feels like an accomplishment. For some reason, my brain resists starting anything, even things I know I'll enjoy. In the last year and a half, I've only watched 2 shows. That's how bad it's gotten. Academics are the biggest issue. My grades before lockdown got me into university. If I had kept it up, I could have earned a scholarship, but I didn't, and now I've become a financial burden to my family. I feel guilty all the time, but I also feel paralyzed. For every small step I take, it feels like everyone else is miles ahead. If I can't get a perfect score, it feels pointless. I know even a 3 or 4 is better than a 0, but sometimes my brain would rather just give up entirely. I've tried talking to my parents, but they laugh it off and say I'm being dramatic. I don't know what to do. And on top of all that, I'm scared about how my family will react when they find out I'm gay. I worry about the future. If I'll ever find a job. If I'll ever move to a safer place. If I'll ever be able to live the life I want. Sometimes I feel like maybe it would have been better not to exist at all. I'm not actively suicidal. I wouldn't do anything to hurt myself. But I also don't really want to be here anymore. Story 16. I don't want to be the supporting structure of my family anymore. I don't want to be the dependable one. I want to feel loved. I need a hug. My parents have been fighting for as long as I can remember. A classic example of a failed marriage. It's gotten to the point where my mom doesn't cook for my dad anymore, but still takes money from him for groceries. And somehow, my mom still acts like she's the victim. I can't say anything to her directly, because whenever someone tries to speak the truth, she threatens to harm herself or causes a scene, so everyone just stays silent. I want to speak the truth, to let it all out. But if I did, the family would fall apart, and I don't have the strength to handle that. Why? Because 7 months ago, I went through a devastating breakup. I lost all sense of purpose. I was haunted by the thought that I never gave her closure. I didn't want her to suffer in silence, like I did after my previous breakup. So I reached out to talk, to offer support, to give her what I never got, and it backfired. She got closure, at least I hope she did, but I ended up reliving all that pain again. Now I feel lost. I still have no direction. I have big dreams and I want to reach my full potential, but I feel like there are people constantly dragging me down while I'm already at rock bottom. And this isn't even half of what I'm going through. There's so much more I can't say because I don't even know how to think about it, let alone process it. To cope, I do a lot of irrational things. I go on long drives with no destination. I make impulsive decisions that hurt me in the long run. I stay awake all night overthinking. I've always tried to be a good person, reasonable, honest, kind. I've never smoked, never touched alcohol or drugs. I think about others more than myself. I love deeply. And yet, I keep getting hurt. I don't know. None of it makes sense anymore. Story 17. I've been struggling with relapse for a while now. A few months ago, I hit a clean streak of 108 days, which felt incredible. But then I slipped up badly. Since then, I haven't been able to stay on track for more than a month and a half. Right now, I'm 12 days clean. But I've been fighting the urge again for about half an hour, and it won't go away. My boyfriend is the only person who knows, and he's the only reason I can keep myself going. I hate lying to him. I hate hurting him. He's understanding, supportive, and always there. But I know it pains him to see me go through this. I used to rely on small disposable razors, but I threw them all away hoping that would help. Now I can't even shave anymore, and every sharp object I see feels like a potential risk. A box cutter in my drawer? Been there. Scissors? Same. Even a kitchen knife makes me nervous. I'm typing all of this just to distract myself from the temptation. There's also my younger brother. He's my best friend, and sometimes he's the only reason I keep going. Lately, I've had some really dark days, but I haven't acted on those thoughts because of him, because of my boyfriend, and even because of my pet rat. As strange as that might sound, they all matter to me. They keep me grounded. I could never hurt them by disappearing. Story 18. I feel like I've become numb and disconnected from everything, and I don't know why. What's worse is that the idea of never caring again terrifies me. When I finally graduated from university earlier this year, I didn't feel anything, despite how hard I worked to raise my GPA. I feel indifferent about an elderly relative who's facing serious health problems. I've completely lost interest in hobbies I once loved. I keep trying to pick up new ones, hoping something will click, but nothing does. It's like I've lost the ability to give or receive love. Whether it's in a romantic or platonic way, when someone expresses affection toward me, it feels like they're speaking a language I don't understand. I can't respond the way I want to. It's not that I don't care. I just feel like something inside me is shut down. In some ways, I've grown a lot over the past few years, but honestly, I kind of hate myself for ending up like this. I want to feel again. I want to reconnect with life and with people. But right now, I feel stuck in this cold, quiet version of myself. Story 19. My friend passed away many, many years ago. We weren't best friends or anything. We only occasionally hung out one-on-one outside of our group of friends. I don't believe in an afterlife or anything supernatural, but sometimes, very rarely, I still talk to him, just in case. I'll go somewhere alone and talk about my life, my thoughts, my feelings, and tell him I wish I could know how he's doing. I don't think his mother was ever there for him, and I never saw a father in his life either, so if somehow, somewhere, he still exists, I might be the only person who still talks to him. I like to remind him that he hasn't been forgotten. Sometimes I actually feel bad that I don't talk to him more often, which is kind of silly, considering I don't even believe in that kind of thing. I probably do it for myself, as a form of self-therapy. I don't know, but this is the first time I've ever told anyone about it. Story 20. I pretend that I'm okay with being single forever, but the truth is, it's because I feel unattractive and unwanted. Instead of admitting how I really feel, I act like it's a personal choice. And to some degree, it is. But even if I wanted to find someone, I don't believe I ever would. I've always felt like I'm just different and not in a good way. No one has ever called me beautiful or pretty. Any man who's ever shown interest in me ended up mistreating me. I've had moments that felt like people were avoiding me just because of how I look. And if I'm in a room with another woman, I feel invisible every single time. On top of all that, I don't know how to be the stereotypical girly woman. I don't wear dresses or heels. And while I know personality matters, I feel like no one ever gets far enough past appearances to see who I really am. But you know what? I've mostly made peace with it. I have kids, so my life hasn't been a waste. I have love in my life through them. That's something that keeps me going. Story 21. This has been the hardest semester of my life, and I've wanted to quit so many times. I went to therapy for months to try and learn how to manage my stress and anxiety. For a while, I thought I was improving. I learned how to be more self-aware and how to be kinder to the people in my life. But now it feels like I just trained myself to become more insecure. I overthink everything. I worry constantly that my boyfriend or my friends won't like me anymore because of some tiny thing I did or said. It's gotten so bad that I can't even focus in class. My mind drifts off, wondering if my tone was too harsh when I asked my boyfriend to hand me my phone, or if I overstayed my welcome at a friend's place, or if asking a classmate for paper made me seem like a bother. I finally made an appointment to get back on antidepressants, and I really hope they help. Trying to quit them while taking 18 credit hours was not the best idea. I'm doing my best, but it's getting really hard to keep up. Story 22. I may regret posting this, but my wife recently gave birth to our son, and the first few days of taking care of our newborn drove me into a very dark emotional state. My wife had a C-section, so basically all responsibilities aside from feeding fell on me, because she understandably couldn't get out of bed. The sudden shift from having time for myself to being responsible for a newborn 24/7 left me feeling overwhelmed and depressed. First, I was embarrassed because I had no clue what I was doing. I even had to ask a hospital nurse to teach me how to change a diaper. Second, I felt like my identity had disappeared. I couldn't focus on my job, a dream job I'd only started 4 weeks earlier. Couldn't go to the gym, couldn't go outside for more than a few minutes. Combined with a lack of sleep, it all hit me hard. Around the third night, I seriously considered just walking away from it all. I felt like my life was over. Thankfully, I didn't act on those feelings. And after the first week, things improved. Now I'm starting to feel more like myself each day as my wife and I figure out how to balance parenting with personal needs. I've been up every night this week with our son, including right now, and I honestly don't mind anymore. I love watching him fall asleep on my lap. I haven't told anyone about this because I felt guilty. My wife was going through so much physically and emotionally, and I wanted to be strong for her. Plus, as a man, I didn't feel like I was allowed to feel depressed during this period. Postpartum struggles are usually associated with mothers. I also didn't want anyone thinking I was a bad father or that I didn't love our child. I'll probably never share this with my wife. Story 23. When my wife and I split up in 2019, after almost 23 years of marriage, there was a very brief moment on the day she left when I experienced a dangerous level of emotional intensity. She turned to go pack some of her things, and when her back was to me, I started to reach out in anger, overwhelmed by everything that was happening. But just as I was reaching toward her, she turned back around to say something, and I dropped my hand and pretended I had seen something in her hair. I didn't act on that moment of rage, and I've never had feelings that intense again. But in the months after, I really struggled with hopelessness. I felt like it was all my fault, that maybe I hadn't been good enough, that her cheating was somehow a reflection of my worth. It felt like if she could stop loving me after more than two decades, then no one else would ever really care about me either. Now, as of October 2021, I actually talk to my ex once or twice a week. We're cordial most of the time when we see each other, and overall, we've moved on with our separate lives. We're both in a better place, and we're both doing okay. But I'll never forget how close I came to breaking that day, and how much the strength it took to walk away instead. Story 24. A good friend of mine hurt me deeply when we were children, and it was years before I understood why. She was being hurt in her own home by someone who should have protected her, and in her confusion and pain, she crossed a boundary with me that should never have been crossed. She touched me in ways that I didn't understand at the time. I remember being dropped off early one morning at her house and later seeing things I shouldn't have seen. This all happened before I was even 9 years old. I found out later that she had been suffering in silence and that she begged to stay over at my house because it was the only place she felt safe. Her mother ignored the signs until eventually Child Protective Services got involved. She doesn't remember what she did to me, and honestly, I don't remember all of it either. I think my mind has blocked out a lot of the pain. I've never told my family about that one night. I've never told anyone, really. And the person who hurt her is still free, because there weren't exact dates or enough evidence to bring justice. I don't know who to talk to or where to go from here. I just know that this has stayed with me all my life, and I think it always will. Story 25. I'm genuinely starting to feel exhausted from caring about this one girl. She's honestly a great person, and I really like her a lot, and I think she still likes me too. Even though we haven't seen each other for nearly 2 years because of the pandemic, we've stayed in touch. Or rather, I've been the one making the effort to stay in touch. I'm always the one reaching out, asking how her week went, checking in, while she rarely, if ever, does the same for me. She once told me she wasn't ready for a romantic relationship because she's going through a lot, and I respected that. I promised to remain her friend and support her, but now I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. I'm starting to question whether what I'm doing is kind or just foolish. I have no guarantee that I'll ever get a real chance with her, and yet I keep hoping. Honestly, I just like a message back once in a while, a hi, or for her to ask how I'm doing, because I'm tired too. Story 26. When I was 11, I stole a necklace from my babysitter. She lived across the street from us. She figured out it was me pretty quickly. She searched my school bag and found the empty box the necklace came in. She even went as far as going to my school and having me pulled out of class so she could ask my classmates if they had seen me with it. I swore to my mom that it wasn't me, and that lie started a whole chain reaction that put my parents under a lot of stress. I was already a bit of a troubled kid. My parents worked late. I was often left alone. I stole things. I made up stories about fake illnesses. And I spent most of my time just wandering the streets on my bike. To this day, I've never admitted the truth to my mom. But I did steal that necklace, and I didn't even keep it. I panicked and threw it under our house when people started asking too many questions. Story 27. It's crazy how much we all go through in silence. Sometimes I really struggle to understand why life feels so isolating. But at the same time, I get it. As I'm typing this, I'm debating whether or not I should actually post it. That hesitation has been happening more and more over the past few years. I have these dark thoughts that come out of nowhere. Sometimes I imagine walking away from everything, my life, my responsibilities, even my girlfriend, who I love. Then I ask myself, why did I just think that? Where did that come from? Honestly, I think it's because I'm not truly happy with my life. But at the same time, I am. I enjoy a lot of things. I don't really have regrets. And yet something's still missing. Maybe I feel unfulfilled. Maybe I haven't found what really gives me a sense of purpose. Reading other stories makes me realize that I'm not alone, but I still compare my problems to everyone else's and convince myself they're not valid, that I shouldn't feel the way I do, but I still do. Lately, it's just been the weight of growing up. I don't like it. Life gets harder. The world feels more chaotic. I'm working so hard, but sometimes I'm not even sure what for. Maybe I'd be more bored if I wasn't, but truthfully, I still feel bored most of the time. Stuck in the routine. So many thoughts racing through my head. Story 28. I've never felt more depressed than I do right now. I've gone through serious depression before, especially back in middle and high school, but it barely compares to what I'm feeling now. Since June, everything has felt like it's fallen apart. My long-term boyfriend broke up with me, and I still don't understand why. It's still affecting my ability to function and do things I normally enjoy. I failed a course that's essential to my degree, and if I fail it again, I won't be able to graduate. My only grandfather passed away from complications due to diverticulitis, and it was heartbreaking to know he was in pain until his last breath. Several family members contracted COVID, and one of my uncles passed away because of it. My godmother was diagnosed with breast cancer just as our city went into one of the longest lockdowns ever, and her condition has been getting worse. My grandmother was rushed to the hospital for chemotherapy. She has multiple myeloma. And on top of everything, I've still had to keep up with more than a full-time academic load. I live on the other side of the world from all of them, so I haven't even been able to be there in person. I really wanted 2021 to be my year, but it feels like each day has just crumbled more than the last. It got so bad that I stopped eating and drinking for over a week and stayed in bed for 3 full days. It feels like anything I care about ends up falling apart. Even though I've been getting help, I still don't know how to cope with everything. I haven't told my friends or family about how bad things have gotten because I don't want to worry them. The idea of them being more concerned about me than their own struggles would hurt me even more. Story 29. This will probably be buried, but I need to say it. I think I'm incapable of truly connecting with people. I feel empathy and can hold conversations fairly well, but I've never been upset when someone leaves my life. I don't know why I'm like this. So emotionally indifferent to others. I've been told I'm just introverted or shy, but it feels like more than that. I've been treated by mental health professionals and have no diagnosis beyond generalized anxiety and major depression. I've been prescribed quetiapine, which helps with daily functioning and motivation, but I still feel detached. People at work say I'm kind and loving, but the truth is I wear a mask there to seem normal. I try not to come off as cold or strange. There's a part of me that really wants close friendships and deep relationships, and I've had some in the past, but I've never been able to maintain them. Something in me doesn't respond the way others do emotionally. Maybe things will change one day, but for now, it scares me that I don't experience the feelings I see in others. I want to care deeply. I just don't know if I can. Story 30. My wife is pregnant with our third child, and honestly, I don't think I can handle it. I love our two kids with all my heart, but this isn't the life I envisioned for myself. I never wanted children. From the beginning of our relationship, I made that clear. But somehow, this is where I ended up. Right now, I feel like all I do is work, come home, and sleep. Repeat. I have no personal time, and once the third baby arrives, even that tiny bit of space will disappear. I don't see myself connecting with this child, not out of cruelty, but because I'm already so emotionally and mentally drained. I asked my wife to consider emergency contraception in the days after, but she refused based on her beliefs. Now I'm faced with more responsibilities, another life to care for, and a future that feels even heavier. It's not just about the baby, it's the way my life and marriage have unfolded. I love my family and they love me, but I've become the backbone of it all, and that's the only role I seem to have. I've sacrificed so much. I got married young, and sometimes I wonder what life would have been like if I'd just chosen differently back then. If I had just skipped that one message that started it all. There are days when I feel so hopeless, I start to think dangerous thoughts. I drive alone every day, and it's hard not to think about what would happen if I just disappeared. I rationalize it sometimes. My life insurance would provide more than enough for my family to live comfortably, but I know deep down that's not the solution. I'm just drowning, and I wish I could go back 10 years and do things differently. Story 31. I completed my studies up to a PhD and now work as a scientific researcher. I know it's considered a good job, and I'm aware of how hard I've worked to get here. I pursued this path not because I knew what I wanted in life, but because I had the ability to do it, and because my family wanted me to succeed. My closest friends, my husband, and my family are incredibly proud of me. Sometimes too much. Meanwhile, I struggle with intense imposter syndrome. In reality, I don't think this is what I want to do with my life. I feel like I've lost years of my life working hard toward this degree, enduring a toxic and narcissistic boss. Deep down, all I really want is a peaceful, simple life. I want to have time for myself, live in a house with a garden, raise chickens, goats, dogs, and cats. I want a regular 9-hour workday like most people in my country, a stable salary, and a balanced life. Instead, I live in a small flat in a big city surrounded by too many people. I work from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Monday to Saturday, sometimes even Sundays. My salary is low compared to what others with my education level earn in this country. I don't have a permanent job or income. I can't afford a house, and I struggle to pay rent. I'm overwhelmed by constant responsibilities. I rarely see my family or friends, and I barely spend time with my husband. I have no hobbies. My life is just work. I'm always tired. The worst part is, I don't even know what else I could do. And I'm afraid to tell my family the truth, because I know they'll be disappointed if I quit. In their eyes, I've succeeded, but for me, it doesn't feel like success at all. Story 32. No one really knows the full extent of the trauma I experienced in childhood. Only two of my friends have noticed tension between me and my family, but they don't think much of it. One of my earliest memories is being made to eat alone in my room while everyone else ate dinner together, just so I wouldn't ruin the mood. I live with cousins, grandparents, my brother, and sometimes my parents. The house belonged to my grandparents, and they basically took care of all of us. Sometimes my aunt and uncle were there too. When I was allowed to eat at the table, I became the target of constant teasing by the adults. The other kids joined in. I was always the one being picked on. Eventually, I would get angry and throw a fit, and they'd send me back to my room, while everyone else continued dinner like nothing happened. Over time, I started to go quiet. I stopped talking because every time I spoke, they would mock my voice. My uncle and grandmother were the worst. I remember my uncle picking me up by the back of my clothes in front of everyone. It happened so often that I just learned to wait silently until he put me down, then quietly walk away. Everyone laughed, even my mom. I was around 4 years old when this started. My earliest memories are filled with embarrassment and sadness. Eventually, I went completely silent, even with my parents. That's when my grandmother gave me a nickname, Debbie Downer. After that, they all started calling me that more than my real name. It made everything worse. They stopped letting me eat at the table altogether. I'd wait in my room until someone brought me a plate. When I went to bring the dishes back, I'd hear the nickname again, along with more teasing. I became so isolated that I didn't even want to leave my room to use the bathroom. I'd rather stay in there than face them. That only made the teasing worse. This was my life from ages 4 to 9, until my brother and I moved in with our parents, who finally had time to care for us. My mom left her job as an EMT, and my dad worked swing shifts at a factory. But I've never been the same since. I'm 19 now, and I still feel like that same sad, anxious, embarrassed child. I've never been able to remember a truly happy moment from my childhood. I was diagnosed with depression at 12, but I'm sure it started long before that. Now, when I attend family events, everyone acts like nothing ever happened. They smile like they've never caused pain. Some of them even look at me like their smiles are meant to mock me. And when I try to talk to friends about my past, I feel like they don't take it seriously. I can almost see them mentally rolling their eyes when I say I don't remember ever truly feeling happy in my life. Story 33. I'm burned out. We lost our unborn baby a year ago, and in the past 6 months, we also lost my wife's grandmother and my daughter's grandfather from another relationship. My wife is pregnant again, and she's constantly sick, so I've been doing almost everything around the house and for her. At work, my boss was fired, and now I've been put in charge of everything he handled, with a huge project due in 6 weeks that feels completely overwhelming. For the last 3 months, I've been trying to sort out health insurance issues due to state-related complications, and they're still sending bills for something we never signed up for or agreed to. I don't even know if I'll be able to take the full amount of paternity leave when our baby's born, because my wife's unemployment ended and we're living almost paycheck to paycheck with how expensive everything has gotten. My family lives far away and hasn't been there for me at all, not even after we lost the baby. I don't have friends anymore either. I barely sleep. I can't find joy in anything right now. And my wife feels like I'm emotionally distant about the baby, but I'm just trying not to break down. Everything has been relentless since the end of last year. I wish I could afford therapy, but I can't. And now I'm not even sure if I can afford basic rent and living expenses for my family and me. Story 34. My sister struggled with addiction. She had her issues and eventually moved to another state. She'd call often, crying and saying she wanted to come home, that she wanted to get clean. I bought her bus tickets more than once, but she never showed up. After a while, I stopped trying. I stopped believing her. It became like the boy who cried wolf. When she called, I'd get angry. I'd say things I regret, harsh things. I'd see her active on social media, so I assumed she was doing okay, at least enough to not worry constantly. The last time we spoke, she was crying, begging to come home. We argued again, like always. Then a few days passed. That's when we got the call from the coroner. She had passed away from an overdose. Sometimes I wonder if I failed her as a brother. Maybe I should have gone to her, helped her right where she was. Maybe I should have done more. It's been 2 years, but I still carry this heavy feeling. I have so much anger toward myself, and I don't know if I'll ever fully forgive myself for how I handled things. This isn't really a confession. It's just me finally saying how I felt all this time. Story 35. I can't get over my ex, not the one before this relationship, but the one before that. I still love her, and no matter how hard I try to move on, I always end up back at square one. We rarely work together, but when we do, it's like we fall back into everything. Talking, texting all night, reconnecting, and then by the next morning, it's like nothing happened. She knows how I feel, but she's 23 and wants to enjoy her early 20s without being in a serious relationship. I'm 31, and at a stage in life where I actually want something stable, something long-term. So I try dating other people, hoping it will dull the feelings or make them go away. My current girlfriend doesn't know any of this. We've only been dating for a month, and she's amazing, smart, kind. We have so much in common, but there's a part of me that feels guilty. I know deep down I don't love her the way I still love my ex. And to complicate things more, she can't have children, and I've always wanted to be a dad. It makes me feel awful, like there's no right choice, no winning. Just this heavy feeling of being stuck between what I want and what I know I can't have. Story 36. I love people way more than they ever love me, and I show it clearly. I listen more to others than they do to me. I'm there for others more than anyone is for me. The only exception is my partner. But even then, sometimes it still feels like this, though it's not a problem with him directly. Usually I don't mind. I know people are going through a lot, and I can carry a lot. I genuinely like loving people. I enjoy listening and caring. I don't usually say this out loud because it sounds selfish or egotistical, and most of my friends deal with mental health struggles. I never want to make them feel like a burden. But honestly, I'd love to have a friend like me someday. At the start of COVID, I made a point to check in with everyone regularly. I offered support, love, and a listening ear when people needed it. I still do that, even now. If someone needs help, I drop everything and show up. But rarely, if ever, does anyone check on me, partner excluded. I'm getting burnt out, and I hate that I can't be there for everyone like I used to. Just recently, my friend and I were chatting, and the conversation shifted to everything going on in the world. I expressed that I was feeling anxious, but still holding on to hope. Instead of offering any kind of support, she replied, "I don't want to talk about this right now. Let's change the subject." Meanwhile, I had spent the last 2 weeks supporting her through relationship issues, hours-long phone calls almost every day. All I wanted was a hug or a simple, "things will get better." I got nothing. And now that I've started setting boundaries, I'm losing friends. Go figure. I hope this means something better is coming. But even so, I'm struggling to make new friends too. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. It feels silly to confess compared to what others have written, and I feel guilty even saying it, but I just needed to get it off my chest. Story 37. I feel so isolated, and it seems to just get worse with each passing year. My mom, as good of a person as she is, has gotten deeply involved in her religious community, which has honestly become a bit cult-like. My dad, while we're on decent terms for now, spends time with people whose views and behaviors I want nothing to do with. My grandfather is slowly fading due to age, and beyond him, I have no other family. All of my close friends live hundreds of miles away. I barely get time to enjoy anything with them, and it feels like I'm slowly fading into the background, forgotten. I regret moving to the place I'm in now because it's so hard to find people I truly connect with. I'm still trying my best, but some days it's really hard. I can't bring myself to tell anyone how I feel because, honestly, what would it change? It wouldn't fix anything. I know I need a change of pace, but it would mean moving again, and that would only make me feel even more isolated. The hardest part is that I have no one I can really lean on. Most of my friends can't even manage their own struggles, let alone help me with mine. I'm always the one people turn to for support, so showing any kind of vulnerability doesn't feel like an option. It's like if I crack, the whole support system around me goes with it. So instead, I just keep going, quietly. Story 38. I grew up in a home that was emotionally, physically, and mentally abusive. I didn't realize how much it had affected me until later in life, but I was a deeply unhappy kid. I was constantly stressed and scared of upsetting my father, afraid of being hit or insulted for my interests. It felt like every little thing about me set him off, like he just didn't like me at all. I wasn't great socially either. I was needy, hyperactive, and temperamental. So in many ways, I felt like I had no one. That's not even the part I struggle to talk about the most. It's how I coped with it that I've never told anyone. In middle school, for about a year, I completely immersed myself in an incredibly vivid fantasy world. It was elaborate and detailed, involving characters from TV shows that I reshaped with different personalities, complex relationships, and even gave myself a new name. In this world, I was loved and valued. I mattered, not just to one person, but to many. My life in that world felt exciting and meaningful in just the right way. It was everything I wanted in real life, but didn't have. I would look forward to coming home so I could disappear into that world for hours. Sometimes I'd pace around, acting it all out in my head. But once my dad started to notice, I would just sit and stare into space. And then one day, it stopped. The fantasy lost its grip, and I was suddenly back in reality. Nothing had improved, but the escape just ended. It's kind of embarrassing to admit because it feels pathetic. I know it wasn't the healthiest way to cope, but honestly, I'm thankful that I found some form of happiness at a time when life felt unbearable. I'm doing a lot better now, and I think I'm the happiest I've ever been, here in the real world. Story 39. I'm deeply depressed. I lost one of my best friends 8 years ago, and then 2 years after that, I lost my dearest friend. Someone who was going to be the best man at my wedding. He passed away just 3 weeks before the big day. I remember going to the tailor's to cancel the suit they had prepared for him, and I just stood there looking at it. By most standards, I have a good life. I have a great job and financial stability, but this hollow feeling has taken over my mind. It's like there's nothing left inside. I don't feel anything. No joy, no passion. I miss my friends every single day. And I haven't been able to find any real interest or desire for much of anything since then. I don't talk about this with anyone because I don't think anyone truly cares, or they just wouldn't understand. I miss feeling connected to people. I miss wanting to go out and do things. Now all I do is work, eat, and sleep. That's my entire life. My brother also suffers from debilitating anxiety and hasn't been able to leave the house. It crushes me because I want him to find happiness. He was a phenomenal basketball player in high school, had scholarships from multiple schools, but he turned them all down because of his anxiety. He's tried every possible treatment, and nothing has helped. I miss being able to talk to him like we used to. It feels like I've lost my brother, even though he's still here. People think I'm this cheerful guy who's got everything figured out, but the truth is, I feel like there's nothing to look forward to. My parents are getting older. People around me are passing away. And it just feels like the only thing left ahead is more sadness. Sometimes I just wish I could sleep forever and live in the dreams where life felt whole, where I felt like I did when I was a child. Story 40. I genuinely believe that someday I'll be the cause of my own end. I've completely given up on the idea of romantic relationships. I've stopped taking care of my body. I've become the passive friend who never initiates anything. I do the bare minimum at work. I'm exhausted, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, from constantly imagining how everyone will react once I'm gone. I'm tired of carrying the weight of imagining their grief. I think about suicide every day. Honestly, probably every single hour I'm awake. I've also stopped reaching out to others for help. I'm at a point where I don't even want help anymore. I haven't told the few friends who know about my past struggles that these thoughts have come back stronger than ever. I don't want them to feel guilty. Like they should have noticed or done something, so I lie. I lie to everyone. And I've sunk to such a low place that I don't even care anymore. Story 41. I was about 16 years old. Me, my cousin, and a couple of my friends went to a concert at this place called the Red Owl. It was also known as Club Red, owned by 98 KUPD. If anyone is from Arizona, this was the old location by the Waffle House on Price Road. Dave the Dude was performing. I didn't really know the guy, but a girl I had a huge crush on was going, so I figured, why not? I had my older brother's ID, so I was able to get into the 21-plus section of the concert. Over the course of the night, I danced with my crush, we kissed, and even had some drinks together. My cousin was buying drinks for everyone that night, and feeling the buzz, he went ahead and got 20 Jaeger bombs. I just happened to walk up to the bar right as he said, "Come on, drink these with me." So I started chugging down cup after cup, managing to get through my half of the 20. If you've ever had a Jaeger bomb, you know how rough they taste. They're dark and intense. I couldn't take it. The taste, the tightness in my stomach, and the overwhelming urge to throw up became too much. I started looking for somewhere to puke, but I knew if I did, I'd get kicked out and be that guy. Then a thought popped into my head. What if I grabbed one of the empty cups and pretended to drink from it, but actually used it to throw up into? Screw it, I went for it. I tilted the cup back like I was drinking and slowly dipped it forward while I filled it up with the dark mess, then casually placed it back on the bar. I looked around. No one had seen me. I turned to pick up the cup so I could throw it away. It was gone. At first, I panicked. I thought the bartender saw me and tossed it, but she was nowhere around. I turned to my right. No way, my cousin was drinking the cup of puke.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal.
Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.